for this generation. Thank you, guys. Thank you for that testimony. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I want you to see that the promise is not to that generation only. The promise is for every generation. And I want to hone in tonight to our young people that the promise is to this generation. And how do you know that? Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. If you're there, say amen. Read it out loud with me. Ready, read. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Read it out loud. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Tonight's message, the promise for this generation. Father, pour out your spirit one more time. Do it again, Lord. Thank you, Father, for Pentecost Sunday. We've been to Calvary. We've been to the empty tomb. Tonight, we're in the upper room. And we pray, God, that you would do it again. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored tonight. Amen. Amen. The promise for this generation. Say that with me. The promise for this generation. In our text tonight, Peter is preaching his great Pentecostal message. Now notice the events here. Jesus had prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. The sweat became as drops of blood. He was placed a crown of thorns upon his head, led up the Via Dolorosa. He was crucified on Golgotha's hill. He died. Or yet, I should say, he laid down his life. And then they laid him in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, the women came to anoint his body. And to their surprise, the stone was rolled away. Jesus was alive. And he showed himself to his disciples. And he told them that I'm going to go away. But when I go away, I'm going to send something back to you. I was with you, but through this power, I will be in you. And the Bible says that 50 days after the resurrection, they were in an upper room. Somebody say an upper room. Amen. Things are looking up. Hallelujah. God brings us to upper places. He's got greater places for us. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that they were all together in one place and one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as a fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I wish somebody would give the Lord a hand of praise in this building tonight. And what they went from sitting in that upper room to preaching out on the streets, speaking in unknown languages to them, but known languages to the crowd. And the crowd was gathered and the attention was grabbed. And Peter stood up and said, hey, it looks like they're drunk with wine, but this is just the third hour of the morning. Let me tell you, this is happy hour, but not like you think, because the Lord has filled his people with a divine presence and a divine promise. And what you see was spoken of by the, and Peter began to preach and he looked at them and told them what it was, how they could receive it. And he ends his message. Go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. They said, how can we receive this? And Peter said unto them, repent. Somebody say, repent. And be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now read out loud one more time. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Thank the Lord for the promise that is unto us. Can you say amen tonight? And we're celebrating that birthday of the church. That's what Pentecost Sunday is. We celebrate it every year like we celebrate Easter, the coming of the resurrection of the Lord, Christmas, the coming of the Lord, and on Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Spirit of the Lord. You see, this is the day we celebrate. And I want to hone in tonight on the fact that Pentecost And this experience is for every generation. Pentecost is really tonight's focus for this generation. Thank God for Brother Philip's generation. Thank God for when I received the baptism in 1985. Oh, yeah, 1985. I wasn't but 13 years old. But I received the Holy Spirit in an Assembly of God church and revival being led by Reverend Steve Edmondson, the Assembly of God on Glendale Avenue. Oh, thank the Lord that the promise was for his generation. The promise was for my generation. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the promise is for this generation. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? This generation is truly a generation that is hurting and bleeding. This generation, like never before, is hooked on drugs. This generation is the most unchurched generation that has existed since the founding of our great nation. This generation, many of them are classified as nuns, the rise of the nuns. We're not talking about Catholic ladies. We're talking about N-O-N-E-S. What does that mean? It means they have no identification with any religion. This generation is bleeding and wounded. This generation is latchkey kids, divorced homes. This generation is harder to reach, more skeptical. They've been brought up in schools that do not pray. And it's amazing to me that as soon as a shooter goes into a school, and there are laws against praying. But my friend, you cannot stop them from praying when that shooter gets loose in that school and their loved ones pass away. I'm telling you, this generation, folks, those of you that are 35 and older, it is time for us to get a burden for those 35 and younger. They think different. They receive different. They have not been raised like we have been raised. They are hurting, and they don't know they're hurting. And they are millennials, and they are even younger than millennials. And has God forsaken that generation? Has God left them out? I'll tell you that according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, God has not left this generation that is 35 and younger. The promise is unto you and to your children. I believe teenagers need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe that juniors need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe God is raising up this generation because where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And oh, God, help us from Brother Philip to Pastor Nate. God, give us Pentecost for this generation. Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of confusion about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. Some people say the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some people say the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're the same thing. The terminology is exactly the same, but I prefer to use the baptism of the Holy Spirit because that is the current technology. But I'm referring to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you want to say the Holy Ghost, that's great. And I'll say the Holy Spirit, but we're talking about the same thing. And if you're from the older generation, it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The younger generation probably understands it better as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But how many of you still love me either way that I use it? Let me say, all in favor, say aye. You see, listen to me. What is the confusion? There are many people that say that when you get saved, that you get all the Holy Spirit that you need. And they quote, go to Scripture, John chapter 3 and verse 5. They quote this, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And what's happening here is that people are using the Scripture and they're saying, I got saved, so I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But my friend, it is true that we cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit. Go to verse 8, John 3 and verse 8. "For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell from which way it's coming or whither it's going. So is everyone, say those words with me, that is born of the Spirit. Please highlight that. Born of the Spirit. My friend, being born of the Spirit, it is not the same as being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of Acts chapter 2. Let me tell you the difference. Born of the Spirit is salvation. It happens at conversion. The baptism of the Spirit is after sanctification. Born of the Spirit deals with salvation. The baptism of the Spirit deals with service. Born of the Spirit, God does something in you. Baptism of the Spirit, God does something through you. Born of the Spirit applies to the sinner. Baptism of the Spirit applies to the believer. They are two separate and distinct experience. They are not the same. How do you know this? The proof is in the Bible. Amen to that. The disciples, they were already saved. They were already. Jesus said, your names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But these saved disciples still needed something beyond Calvary, something beyond their salvation. And that's where Jesus said to these saved people, can I ask you a question tonight? Are you saved tonight? Raise your hand if you're saved tonight. Let me tell you, if you are saved tonight, the same Jesus that spoke to the Peter and to John who was saved is speaking to you tonight to tarry until you have been endued with that experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of Bible speaking in tongues. And this promise is for this generation. Can you shout amen tonight? Now, there are many who say and get confused about speaking in tongues. There are many who say that speaking in tongues was just for that chapter or just for that day and not an initial evidence. People have argued that in Acts chapter 2, they say, preacher, they spoke in tongues, but go to Acts chapter 2, verse 9. And they'll use this, and they'll say, preacher, they spoke in tongues because there was Corinthians and Medes and Elamites. There he is, Brother Elam. And the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? There are people that say, they spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2, but that was because of all of those people from all the nations. And if that were the only instance of speaking in tongues in that chapter, I would have to concur that the speaking in tongues was localized to that one chapter and that one event. But my friend, the truth of the matter is that in every other instance in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit was poured out, there was not a large delegation of international people from different countries and languages. But there, in every incident, despite the fact of who was there, the evidence was this, though they spoke in an unknown language. Why are you sitting there looking at me like a raccoon in the middle of the road on a dark night and your lights are on bright? I'm preaching the truth tonight. Praise God, Pentecost is for this generation. Don't you confine it to something that somebody said on TV. TV and the radio, you reach out and have it because God wants you to have it. And I'm hungry for it in my generation, but I want this generation to have it. Can you say amen? Go to Acts chapter 10. Where was Peter at? He was in a home, a large home. There were no international delegation. Everybody spoke the same language. It would be like coming to your house. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell on them all which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came to Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured the gift. Somebody say it's a gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 46. How did they know they got the Holy Ghost? Verse 46, read it out loud. For they heard them. And what? You know how long ago that was? Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 10 was many years later. And in that home, not an international delegation like in Acts 2, but they spoke in an unknown language. And you say, well, maybe so, maybe not. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Some 30 years later, according to Bible scholars, in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 8, if you're there, say amen. And it came to pass, have we got it, brother? And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, passing through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Somebody say Ephesus. And finding certain disciples. Somebody say disciples. Verse 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Right there ought to tell you that there's something beyond believing. Amen. And they said, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, into what are you baptized? And he said, into John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come, that is on Christ Jesus. Look at verse 5. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. In verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And what? They spake with tongues and prophesied. And there wasn't but about 12 people there. Friend, I want you to know Pentecost was for Acts 2 in the original outpouring with that international delegation. And they spoke in languages that the people could understand. But Acts chapter 10 tells us that Pentecost was for that generation and that household, and it's for your house. And in Acts 19, Pentecost was for that generation 30 years later of just a handful of believers, but yet just 12 people, 12 individual people, 12 unknown and unnamed people. God said it's so important that you 12, we might not ever know their names. We may not ever know the work that they did, but it is surely this for us, that if they were given it and they needed it, I want you to know for Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts 19, and for 1901, and for 2001, and for this generation, I want you to know all the way to tonight, Pentecost is for today. It is for this generation. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? Don't be confused about speaking in tongues. You see, in 1901, a group of people were praying in Topeka, Kansas. They were praying for the Holy Spirit to be poured out in the new century. And after midnight, in the prayer meeting that had gone on for several days, a young lady by the name of Agnes Osman, she was 31 years old, a young woman. They reported that she began to speak in unknown languages. Others soon thereafter received that experience. The founder of that school, William Parham, established a college in Houston, Texas, to study the baptism of the Spirit. It had been lost to the church. And because of the Jim Crow laws and the racial laws of that day, there was a black student by the name of William Seymour who was hungry for his baptism in the Spirit. And he had to sit outside in a hall because the laws would not allow him to stay in the class with white people. But out in the hallway, he heard William Parham tell about Acts 2 and 19 and tell about Topeka, Kansas. And I don't know exactly what William Parham said in that class, but he had to say something along these lines. Pentecost is for our generation. Be hungry for it. Be open to it and receive it. And that African-American, William Seymour, he went out to Los Angeles to a place called Azusa Street. And he found a group of people and they prayed and God poured out his Spirit. And people from all over the world came to that little rundown place and received the promise of the Father and began to speak in tongues. And God moved and the world has never been the same. Oh, praise God that Pentecost is for this generation. Now, some of you say, well, what about speaking in tongues? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30. They'll tell you not all have the gift of speaking in tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues, but I don't believe the gift is for everyone. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? They'll use that scripture to you. Sounds very convincing. The only problem is you've got to take it in the context. Because anything taken out of context becomes a pretext for your opinions. Go chew on that for a while. When you read this, this is not talking about the individual. You see, there's two different types of speaking in tongues. There is private tongues between you and God. Somebody say, between me and the Lord. And then there's what we call corporate tongues. When you stand up in an assembly like tonight, and you publicly to this assembly begin to speak in unknown languages. The private, personal tongues are different than the corporate, public tongues. The private, personal tongues come privately when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence, the initial, somebody say the initial evidence. Doesn't mean it's the only evidence, but it's the initial evidence that we can tell, for they heard them speak with tongues. That is private. Somebody say private. In this passage, Paul is dealing with the public gift of speaking in tongues. That not everybody has. Everyone can have the private and should have and must have and should ask for and believe God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the tongues comes with it. But the public speaking in tongues is something you don't choose, but God chooses for you. And by the way, if anybody publicly addresses a congregation in tongues, then the scripture says it then must be interpreted. You see, they go hand in hand. Private, you don't need an interpreter. Can I get a witness out here tonight? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 12 through 13. If you're there, say amen. Even if you're there, say amen. Even so ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. That scripture says that if you speak to the church an unknown tongue, pray for an interpreter. And doesn't that make sense? You see, God wants the language heard in everybody's language. And if somebody begins to speak in an unknown language, it sounds beautiful and it probably blesses the individual, but it really doesn't impact the people. Simply why? Because they don't understand it. It is an unknown tongue. And if you're addressing the congregation, God is saying, listen, I want you to understand what I'm trying to say. Yes, I will show you tongues through a person to show you that I can do it. But I also have an interpreter that will interpret the meaning and the message and the gist of the message. Not a word-for-word translation, but an inspiration of what the moment is saying. So please understand that if someone is addressing the church in tongues, not everybody has that gift. Not everybody's going to operate in that gift. If you do, you must have an interpreter. But what I'm talking about tonight is not the public gift. I'm talking about something personal, something you need. Be endued with power. I'm talking about something for every generation, and I'm talking about something for this generation called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The promise is not for everybody but you. The promise is for you. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men, your handmaidens, red and yellow, black and white, everyone that's hungry for more of the Lord, you have a promise, and you have a privilege, and there is power to receive Pentecost for this generation. Can you say amen tonight? The baptism of the Holy Spirit was evidenced by speaking in tongues. And that promise is for tonight. And I want to give you 2 points tonight. And unless you get really happy, these 2 points have a few points in between. What happens when we receive? Point one, what happens when we receive? What happens when we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, say those next words, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. Notice that it said Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, did X, Y, Z. Why did the scripture say and notate that he was filled with the Spirit if it did not make a difference? It could have said, then Peter said unto them. No, it said, then Peter, comma, filled with the Holy Spirit, comma, said this and did this. May it be said of our Sunday school teachers. Our Sunday school teacher, filled with the Holy Spirit, taught the Sunday school class. Our youth pastor, filled with the Holy Spirit, ministered to the youth and the power. Oh, my goodness. The preacher, filled with the Holy Spirit, preached with boldness, and souls were saved. The church members, filled with the Holy Spirit, believed God, and a mighty revival took place. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, makes not some difference, makes not a little difference. It makes all the difference. That's what happens. Well, glory. I said, that's what happens. Will it make a difference in your life? Number one, the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, will give you greater power. Somebody say power. You have authority over Satan. You have boldness in witnessing. Somebody confronts you and says, well, I'm a Buddhist or I'm an atheist. Well, what about the empty tomb? And what about John 3:16? Don't back up. Don't back down. Be bold and be strong. Now, we can be shy, but even shy people can be bold as a lion. Can I get a witness out there? Power. Somebody say power. Did not I tell you that this generation is hooked on drugs, hooked on pornography, hooked on medicines, prescription medicines, like never before? We see, what is it called? OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, fretting. I'm just OCD. What you need is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm convinced a lot of young people, they don't need Ritalin. They need the fire of the Holy Ghost. I said it. Yes, I did. I may lose my job, but I said it. And I know if you're a school teacher, if you say it, you're going to lose your job. Trust me, I'm going to tell you. But exactly what we need and exactly what happens when you receive the baptism, you have spiritual power. Power to overcome temptation. Power to be a witness. Power to pray. Power to shine the light of Jesus. We can have, you shall receive power. You know this. The older generation knows this. The word power is dunamis, which is likened to dynamite, which is, I like to liken it to nuclear power. Amen. We're talking about you can get nuked with this thing. Hallelujah. Power from all, and you can nuke the devil. Hallelujah. There is power in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do we not, are we weak at times? Do we fight against the Spirit and not flesh and blood? Are we in a war? Yes. What will help us is power from on high. Say amen tonight. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will not only have greater power, but you have a greater prayer life. Because the Romans chapter 8 says the Spirit helps us to pray. I'm not going to go into details on that, but we can pray to God. And prayer in itself is power. But let me tell you, when you pray in the Spirit, it takes prayer to another level. And I'm not sure how to explain praying in the Spirit. I'm not sure how to teach praying in the Spirit because it is more caught than taught. I want to tell you, there's the now lay me down to sleep prayers, and they're good, and God hears them. But then there is a level of praying where you're praying in the Spirit of God. And brother and sister, the devil trembles and things happen. And that's what happens when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? You'll have a greater presence of God in your life. Jesus said in John chapter 7 that if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me. How many of you, just simply this, do you know one of the reasons why I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 15 years old? You know one of the reasons why? Because I love Jesus. And I wanted more of Jesus. And Jesus says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they which should believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Please understand, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. You will have greater prayer and you will have the presence of God in your life. Rivers of living water. You will be filled and thrilled and overflowing and walking in victory. And the devil will will tremble and you will have mighty anointing in your life. I wish somebody would say hallelujah tonight, and why anybody would not say, oh God, fill me with the Spirit. Make it your prayer. Make it your plea. Get alone with God. Find your place before the Lord. You may say, I'm retired, but that's all right. You still need it. You may say, I'm a teenager in school. You most definitely need it. We all need it. And Pentecost is for this generation. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Now, how do I receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? How do I receive it? Should I seek for tongues and ask God, give me tongues? No. Don't worry about tongues. You just ask God for the Holy Spirit, and the tongues will come. Can you say amen? I didn't go to the altar and say, oh God, let me speak in tongues. Let me speak in tongues. That's the fruit. But what you need is the root. And once you get the root, the fruit will come out. It will be an evidence. Now, if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how do you receive it? Number one, letter A, just like I said, you've got to want it. John chapter 2 and verse 3. Give me a thumbs up when you're there. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said, they have no wine. Did you hear what it said? It said, when they wanted wine. That's the first miracle that Jesus performed, was turning the water into wine. And by the way, while I'm on that subject, there's a lot of people that use this scripture to justify their drinking alcohol. They use this scripture to justify drinking beer. They use it to justify drinking hard liquor, Jim Beam. They'll use it to justify drinking table wine. They'll use it to justify drinking all of these alcoholic beverages. Can I tell you, by the Holy Spirit tonight, that I'm for, if you fill up your glass full of water and you pray a prayer, oh God, if you want me to drink wine, you turn this water into wine. Now, if he turns the water into wine, then you drink it. But unless he turns the water into wine, I don't want to see a beer in your hand. I don't want to see a glass of wine when I go to the restaurant. I don't want to see a picture on Facebook where you're sitting in a bar and you're sipping. Because let me tell you something. You may go to heaven like that, but you're not a very good witness like that. Wine is a mocker, and strong drinking is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, I'm just a can of beer. But let me tell you what does beer have in it. It has alcohol. Alcohol is the enemy to your body, and it certainly does not help your testimony. I believe we need to preach one message and one message only. Abstinence. Put down the beer. Put down the wine. Be holy as he is holy. Walk in holiness. Live. You don't need that wine anyway. What you need is the new wine of the Holy Ghost. And when they wanted it, brother, God provided it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get off this subject real quick because I didn't mean to preach on it. But young people need to hear it. But when a Christian tells me, Christian, who says they're saved, and they start arguing, I can be saved and drink wine. And well, as soon as they tell me that they drink beer, it hurts me. Why does it hurt you? Because you're self-righteous? No. I'm not self-righteous. You know why it hurts me? Because I saw my father drink beer. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, it wasn't good. And it had a hold on him. And it caused him to die. At 62 years of age, day after day, he drank one beer after another. You say, well, I'm just going to drink one beer. But one beer leads to another beer, leads to another beer. And besides that, if somebody sees you drink one, they don't know whether you're drinking 50. People say, well, it's drunkenness that's a sin and not drinking. My friend, what leads to drunkenness is the drinking. Why don't you just go ahead and be holy? And I know some of you millennials sitting out there, all smirky. But let me tell you, when you see a father sit across the table and cut his steak and he trips and falls and his face in the food, and you can't even talk to your dad, I don't want to hear it. Be ye holy as he is holy. Stay away from wine. If he turns the water into wine, go right ahead. Until then, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You people need to shout a little bit. You know what? We need some holiness preaching again. I'm going to say this. This has been on my mind the last few weeks. When I was growing up, the women of the church, they would not wear makeup. They would wear skirts. They never would wear slacks. They would not put on makeup. They would not put on earrings. They would. And that doesn't make you holy in and of itself. That is. And then they begin to get legalistic. But now, in today's generation, we have Daisy Duke shorts, low cut shirts, men who go out and cut their grass and flex their muscles, and they come to church and raise their hands. We've gone from one extreme to the other. I'm telling you, we've got to preach modesty. That's what they used to say. Well, I believe it's okay to wear shorts as long as they're not too short. Well, now they're way too short. And I'm getting off on. Y'all pray for me. Amen. Oh, listen, be holy. Listen, walk different in this world and be careful how you, young ladies, let me tell you, don't take pictures of yourself and put on Facebook where you show a lot of skin. And if you go to the beach and you're in a bathing suit, don't post pictures like that. And don't, because there's people, there's predators out there and you belong to the Lord. And so I'm not telling you to wear, I saw a Muslim the other day and I have to be careful saying this, but I saw a Muslim the other day, and they had a black veil. Only thing you could see is her eyes. And I thought, that's bondage. That's bondage. God doesn't want you to go around and only show in your eyes. Praise God, there's liberty in the Lord. There's freedom in the Lord. But ask God what you wear. Don't wear such tight clothes that everything. Oh, let me move on here. Amen, somebody. And parents and grandparents, teach it to these kids. Tell them what's right. Tell them what, hey, that might not go good. Come on and help me preach here tonight. Let's show this generation that you don't have to look like the things just because others do it and celebrities do it. There's a reason we should present our bodies unto the Lord. That was not in my notes. Do you want the Holy Spirit? Does God love you just as you are? But he loves you so much, he won't leave you like you are. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. You have to present your vessel. If you want the Holy Spirit, you need to come down tonight and simply say, Lord, here I am. I want the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your service. Be not conformed to this world, and what I just preached here, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think differently. I'm not telling you what to wear and what not to wear, but I'm telling you, when you renew your mind, let God tell you how to dress and how to present yourself so that you can be a godly witness in an ungodly world. Can I get a witness out there? You got to ask for it. Somebody say, ask for it. Luke chapter 11, if a son asks bread, you got to want it, you got to present yourself for it, and you got to ask for it. Father, look at verse 13, Luke chapter 11, verse 13 or 12. It says, if you ask for an egg, will the Father give him a scorpion? Verse 13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give a... Listen, if your earthly father, most of the time, and we know there's exceptions to the case that there are earthly fathers who are not good, but if a godly and a good earthly father, if you ask them for something and it will help you and it's not going to hurt you, they would be more than glad to give it to you. Amen? How much more if you ask for the Holy Spirit from your heavenly Father? He wants you to have it more than you want to have it. He's got a gift for this generation. He's got power for this generation. He's got anointing for this generation. Matthew 21 says, all things, verse 22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Father, I'm hungry, and I want you to fill me and thrill me and overflow. I need power. I want strength in my Christian witness. I want to be effective for you. I want to be filled with your presence greater. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And let me add about tongues here. Now let me tell you, one of the things that's going to happen when you're praying for the Holy Spirit is there's going to come a fear all over you that when you speak in tongues, it'll be you and not the Spirit. because I had that struggle. I went down to the altar. I said, oh, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I need it. And I would feel it. Feel the tongues. I would feel it. But some little voice said, that ain't right. That ain't it. You're not getting the real deal. And this ain't real. So you better. And I remember one time I spoke in tongues and I immediately stopped. And this voice came over me and said, that wasn't real. That wasn't what your grandmother has. Can I tell you what that really was? That voice that I was hearing. Can I tell you what it was? It was the devil. The devil doesn't want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I remember an evangelist came into town and he used this scripture. First of all, are you asking for the Holy Spirit? Somebody say yes. Did the Bible say that if you ask for the Spirit, would God give you a serpent? No. If you ask for the Spirit, what will the Father do? He will do what? And he'll not give you an evil spirit. So when you come down tonight, and you ask God for the Holy Spirit, and you begin to feel, and I can't explain it, and I can't write it in a textbook, but you'll begin to feel it. You almost hear it. You'll feel it welling up, and you're like, I could just speak these words, and I'm not sure what they are, but if you'll just let it flow, it's not you. It is you. You've got to yield to it. Somebody say yield to it. Amen. Do you know what yield means? Yield means that I make a move for someone else to make a move. And so, when you're asking for the Holy Spirit, you make a move so that someone else can make a move on you. Now, that's what yielding means. And so if you feel it and you're asking for it and you're praising. And by the way, when you're asking for the Holy Spirit, don't come down here and do this. God is not going to open your mouth and move your tongue like that. That's what some people are looking for. They're looking for God to move the tongue for them. No. You yield your body. I can't explain it, but I'll tell you this. When you come asking for the Holy Spirit, come with your arms lifted. Come with the hallelujahs. Come with praise the Lord. Let God begin to let it well up. And then you just by faith, somebody say by faith, you just yield and the tongues will come and you will feel the power of God and you will never be the same. Can you give him the Lord a hand of praise tonight? Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Would you stand? Brother Wilson, if you would come tonight. Holy Spirit, can we sing that song if you can pull it up? Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. And I want to close with this passage. If you'll go, Brother Blue, to John chapter 5, verse 33. And I want to close with this passage tonight because my message tonight is Pentecost is for this generation. Jesus made a statement in John chapter 5, verse 33. You sent for John, and he bare witness unto the truth. Go to the next scripture. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. Now go to verse 35. He was a burning and a shining light. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. I want you to look at that verse. Jesus was speaking of John the Baptist, his cousin. And I've tried to study this passage to find out where the time frame was. This before John was killed or after John was killed? And from what I can gather, I believe it was before he was killed. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Jesus was referring to them of the testimony of John. And he makes this statement. He said, guys, there was a man named John, and he was a burning and a shining light. My friend, I don't want that to be said of Ricky Nelms. You know, Ricky Nelms, he was on fire for God. You know, Ricky Nelms, he was a burning and a shining light. I pray that if anybody talks about Ricky Nelms, I pray that they say these words. Ricky Nelms is a witness. That Ricky Nelms is on fire for God. That Ricky Nelms is a burning and a shining light. Oh, may it never be said of Westmoreland. Westmoreland was a burning and a shining light. You can go ahead and place awfully. Westmoreland was on fire for God. Does anybody in Westmoreland Church want to pray this prayer? Lord, let it be said of Westmoreland that it is a burning and a shining light. That it is on fire for God. That Westmoreland is a place where Pentecost happens and souls are saved and lives are changed. What about you? What about you? Sadly, some of you, I have to say, I'm not going to call any names, but I don't really know if it's anybody here, but there's some that may be listening. He was on fire for the Lord. He used to be full of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, but you don't see that anymore. Friend, don't be a was, be an is. Thank God Youth Pastor Nate is a burning and a shining light. Do you want that in your life? Do you want to be a burning? Question, do you want to be a burning and a shining light in this generation? Would you stand, take out of your seat and join me at the front? And those of you that want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to pray with you tonight. Pastor Nate wants to pray with you tonight. And we want to pray and we want to be a burning and a shining light. Oh, hallelujah. I am a burning. I want to be a burning and a shining light.
Thou art welcome in this place.
Lord, fill Trinity with the... Oh, God. She's a young lady. Oh, God. Let her be filled tonight with the power. Let her be a burning and a shining light. Hallelujah. Fill her tonight. Fill her tonight. Refill our youth pastor. Lord, that he may be and continue to be a burning and a shining light. How many of you want that wine tonight? Ask him for it. Praise him for it. Believe him for it tonight. Oh, fill this place. Fill this place. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. In this place. Omnipotent.
Omnipotent. Father of mercy and grace.
Oh, she wants to be a burning and a shining light. Ask, ask, ask. He calls us. We bless.